This is the third tape in a series on Pentecost, which we will entitle, Who is in Charge of the Temple? Now let's go to Matthew 23 first to begin there, because this becomes a very important thing for us to understand exactly what it's saying, because when you read Matthew 23 and then you read some of the writings of William F. Dankenbrink, you wonder where the conflict is. So I want to read you just a little bit. He did another paper called Getting It Right, Pentecost, the Final Answer. And I want to read you part of it here. Were the Pharisees wrong? Now, we saw with our calendar thing that the Pharisaical way of calculating Pentecost normally occurs 3 to 4 times out of 10 years anyway. Okay? So please remember that. So he says, the Pharisees, whom Jesus described as the guardians of the law of God. Now, I want you to notice how it is flavored. I want you to remember the last tape we did on the historians or the writers, emphasizing facts, easing off of facts, bearing down on facts, ignoring facts, and slanting what they want to say to fit what they want to prove. And that's precisely what is being done here. Nowhere did Jesus use the words, the guardians of the law are the Pharisees. As a matter of fact, let's go to John, the 7th chapter for a minute, and let's see what Jesus said. We'll just add a couple of things in here. John, the 7th chapter, and here is what Jesus said concerning the law of Moses. Okay? Jesus said, verse 19 of John 7, did not Moses give you the law, yet none of you keep it? Does that sound like they're guardians of the law? Okay? We'll see a little later. Mark 7, Matthew 15. Their traditions did what? Reject the law of God. Full well, you reject the law of God that you may keep your traditions. That's what Jesus said. Okay? So, he says, the Pharisees, whom Jesus described as the guardians of the law of God, Matthew 23, 2 and 3, we'll go to Matthew 23 here in just a minute, understood the Sabbath of Leviticus 23:11 to refer to the first day of Passover or the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And as we saw on the calendars that we had, how the Jews no longer even recognized the 14th as part of the Passover, instead of going from the 14th to, or that is through the 21st for 8 days, they go from the 15th through the 22nd for 8 days. Then he says, the first day of unleavened bread, the 15th of Nisan, which was a high Sabbath day of rest, Encyclopedia Judaica, volume 14, page 1319. Remember, whenever you read any reference that is of the Jews, you have to remember that the only things we have written by the Jews today were from the Pharisees, period. And they had absolutely no love for the Sadducees. So you can't depend on their writings for it. The Apostle Paul. Now notice what we're doing. We're coming from the Pharisees, who Christ endorsed, down to the Apostle Paul, who was what? The Apostle to the Gentiles. Now see, in three sentences, what we've come to. The Apostle Paul, who was also a Pharisee before his conversion, still acknowledged that he was a Pharisee years after his conversion. When he cried out to a council of religious leaders approximately 60 AD, 26 years after his conversion in 34 AD, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, Acts 23:6. Again, taking it out of context. He only did that so that he could split the Pharisees against the Sadducees, because he knew how much they hated each other. He didn't do it because he was a practicing Pharisee, as we'll see here in just a minute. Paul also said that as a Pharisee he was as, quote, touching the law, a Pharisee, and that is touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Philippians 3. Now, we will get to both of those. Does this sound as if the Pharisees were wrong the way they counted Pentecost? Okay, now the logic, human logic, that follows along. But does it stand up under the investigation of Scripture? Okay. Because what we will see here in just a minute, if the Pharisees were wrong in the way they counted Pentecost, since they counted from the first day after the annual Sabbath, as Josephus, the famous Jewish historian of the first century, shows beyond any doubt, and all he was doing was writing how the Pharisees did it. And we know that 30 to 40% of the time, that is correct. Then Jesus, the Messiah, our Savior, would not have told his disciples, the scribes and Pharisees, sit in Moses' seat, all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. Now, all of that sounds very good. However, let's put some of it to the test. Were we to follow the authority of the Pharisees? Let's go to Matthew 23. It would seem a little ridiculous to say they sat in authority and for Jesus to tell them to follow them in whatever they said. Does that mean he's endorsing their traditions? No, because we know that they rejected them. We know that Jesus rejected the traditions. Does that mean that they were to believe them in relationship to what they said about Jesus Christ? Because didn't they say that Jesus Christ cast out demons by the prince of the demons, Baal-zebub? Okay. Now, Matthew 23 and verse 2, when Jesus spoke to the multitude and his disciples saying, the scribes... Now, all the way through his writings, he leaves out the scribes. Who were the scribes? The scribes were the doctors of the law. They were the ones who knew what we would call the Bible. Okay? And the scribes, in the main, not all, but in the main, were Sadducees, because most of the scribes were a lower-level priest. So it puts the scribes in first authoritative position, not the Pharisees. The Pharisees are in the second authoritative position. The Pharisees were in charge of the synagogues. The Pharisees had virtually no power at the temple, and which we'll prove today from scriptures. Now it says, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Now, the original has this meaning and is so translated in the New American translation of the Bible, which is, the scribes and Pharisees have seated themselves in Moses' seat. In other words, they usurped the authority of Moses. So what he's saying, all that they bid you observe, that could only, as we covered before, so this is kind of a way in review, just to nail it down, that could only refer to when they were reading the scriptures. Could not possibly refer to anything else. Okay, now let's carry this just one step further. If you, as a Christian Jew, who is called of the sect Nazarene because you were following Jesus of Nazareth, went into a synagogue and you participated in the synagogue ceremony, would you have obeyed the Pharisees when the command came to curse the minim? Now, cursing the minim was cursing the Christians and cursing Christ. See, now you're stuck with something. Because a Pharisee would command that. So this is only limited because they seated themselves in Moses' seat, Jesus is saying, whatsoever they bid you, and it's got to be with what the scriptures say, that do. Otherwise, the whole rest of the chapter and his condemnation of them makes absolutely no sense. Where he goes through, and the most voracious attack that Jesus gave on any of them. Now, I'm not going to go through the whole thing. You can all read the rest of Matthew 23. Now, let's cover the next question in Philippians, the third chapter, concerning that Paul was a Pharisee. Which he is saying that, since he was a Pharisee, he did what the law said. But let's see all of it. Let's look at all of it. What is one of the rules of Bible study? You start with the easy to understand, you look at the scripture, and then you do what? You read the verses before, you read the verses after. And if that doesn't give you the answer, you read the chapter before the chapter answer. After. If that doesn't give you the answer, you get out your concordance and you look up every place in the Bible where that same instance is used so you can find out how it's used in the Bible rather than make a guess on what to do. Okay? Now, let's start right out here in verse 2. He says, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. That's the circumcision party of the Pharisees. Now you see, speaking of Pharisees, let's hold it just right here for 1 minute. Let's go to Acts, the 15th chapter. Acts 15. Okay? And this covers the whole problem of circumcision. Now, concision means, instead of the circumcised ones, it means the cut-off ones. And that's what Paul thought of their theological stance in relationship to salvation. Okay? Now, let's come here to verse 5. Okay? No, let's come to verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Now let's come down to verse 5. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed in Jesus, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and command them to keep the law of Moses. Now, that's their interpretation of the law of Moses. Please understand. Okay? So who was causing problems within the church? Pharisees. You read all of Acts 15. Does it sound like that the disciples followed the Pharisees? Or did they ignore them? If we are to follow the Pharisees and their teachings within the church, why did not the church then at that point follow the Pharisees and make circumcision mandatory? See, you've got to answer all those questions. You can't take part of it and build your case on part of it. Okay? Now let's go back to Philippians, the third chapter. Verse 3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks that he has whereof he may trust in the flesh, I the more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel of the tribe of Benjamin. Now what was the difference between the Pharisees and the scribes and the priests? A Pharisee could be of any tribe. Okay? So most of the Pharisees were Jews or Benjamites. Some were Levites. But the Levites were the priests. Okay? So that's why Jesus said they seated themselves in Moses' seat. Because really, they were lay preachers. They were not priests. The Pharisees were in charge of the synagogue system. That's why when we come to our survey in the book of Matthew, you will see that Jesus encountered the Pharisees in Galilee, east of the Jordan, or on what is called also the west of the Jordan on the West Bank today, and so forth. But as he got closer to Jerusalem and right in the temple area, the Pharisees did not have that much power. We'll see that. Okay? He said, of the tribe of Benjamin, of Hebrews,
teaching up on other facts.
Okay? So concerning the law, a Pharisee, that means he observed the law according to the Pharisaical tradition. Could the Pharisees contradict a teaching from the temple and get away with it? Not concerning the holy days. But this is the whole scope of the law. This is not just Pentecost. So you can't go to this scripture and say this talking about Pentecost. And that means having right standing with the temple, correct? So that means that he would have to have followed whatever the edicts of the temple were concerning the holy days, otherwise he wouldn't be in right standing or blameless concerning righteousness, okay? But what things were gained to me, I counted them for loss for Christ. So he said, all of this over here is over and done. Okay? Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Okay? So there's nothing here that inherently or intrinsically endorses any day of Pentecost. But for people to follow and just read that in a sentence and say, oh yeah, I remember where that was in Philippians 3, but not turn there and check it out, it could appear that he was right. Okay? Let's continue on and let's see what we have here. Let's go to Matthew, the second chapter. Because what I'm going to do is basically do a survey through Matthew. Now, I've gone through all of Matthew, all of Luke, all of Mark, all of John, and all of the book of Acts. Every one of the places where it said Pharisees, every place where it said priests, every place where it said Sadducees. And the sum of it is this. At the temple and in Jerusalem, the priests were in charge. Guess who had responsibility for setting the calendar dates? The Sanhedrin, which was a subdivision of the Sanhedrin, was responsible for establishing the calendar dates for Pentecost, for Passover, for all of the holy days. Okay? Now here, Matthew, the second chapter. And let's read this account. Let's pick it up here in verse 1. And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem. Okay, with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes, doesn't say Pharisees. Now, there were some scribes who were Pharisees, but they were a minority of the scribes because they were differentiated from the scribes. Okay? And the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Okay, we see that Herod did not confer with the Pharisees. Okay, let's go to chapter 3. Chapter 3, and here's John the Baptist preaching. Verse 1, and in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Now Judea, he's down by the Jordan, but still in Judea. Okay? And saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then went to him out of Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. So that goes to the east bank, a little bit to the north. Doesn't say from Galilee, but all the area around there. Okay? And were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees, okay, so we have them together. In this case, there are more Pharisees than Sadducees because they are away from Jerusalem. When he saw the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers! Remember last time how we read that we were told that the Pharisees were better than the Sadducees? They're both snakes in the grass. Okay? Let's go to chapter 9. Matthew 9. And let's pick it up here. Matthew 9. Notice the first verse. He was at the Sea of Galilee. He entered into a ship and passed over and came to his own city, which was what? What was his own city? Nazareth. Okay? They brought a sick man. We come on down. He called Matthew. And let's pick it up here in verse 10. Matthew 9 and verse 10. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat to eat, or sat at a meal in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it. Now, why would the Pharisees object to this? Because Pharisee means separatist. Separated from the people. And they were the Stoics, as it were. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why does your master eat with publicans and sinners? Okay, so the encounter with the Pharisees was where? Was in Nazareth. Okay, verse 14. And then came to him the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples fast not? And we have a little bit of, you know, self-righteousness here. Our fasting is good and all this sort of thing. But what did Jesus say about public fasting a little later on? He said, when you fast, don't be like the Pharisees who contort their faces and go around moaning and groaning. He says, you don't do that. Okay? Now, let's come to Matthew 10. Matthew 10. No, that was a bad reference last time. I remember that. We'll skip Matthew 10. We'll go to Matthew 12. Matthew 12 and verse 1. And at that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the field of grain. It says corn here, but that's not the corn like we have in Iowa where, you know, where you're walking through 8-foot corn. Okay, but that's pretty good corn to pluck and eat right off the cob, you know. Okay? It just means the grain field. And his disciples were hungered, and they began to pluck ears of corn, that's the tops of them, and to eat. And when the disciples saw it, okay? Not the disciples, but when the Pharisees saw it, what the disciples were doing, they said, behold, your disciples do that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day. And then, you know, the rest of the county said, what David and his men did, they even ate the showbread. So here again we have in the hinterlands an encounter with the Pharisees. Let's go to verse 9. And when he departed there, he entered into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had a hand withered. And they asked him, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days that they might accuse him?" That is, they being the Pharisees. And he said to them, "What man is there among you which will have one sheep, and if it fall in the pit on a Sabbath day, will not lay hold of it and lift him out? And how much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well or do good on the Sabbath days." And so he said to the man, "Stretch forth your hand." He stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. Now, you might want to just put in your notes there in the margin, Mark 3 and verse 6, they went out and held counsel with the Herodians. But still, where did they have this power and this authority was where? Not at the temple, but in the synagogue. And that becomes important. Very important to remember. Okay? Now let's come to verse 22. Then he brought unto him one possessed of a demon, or devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spoke and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, "Is this not the son of David?" And when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow does not cast out demons, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." So again, the encounter with the Pharisees. Okay, verse 38. Verse 38, Matthew 12. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, "Master, we desire," that is, "we would," and the "would" there means we are desirous, "to see a sign from you." And he answered and said to them, "An evil and an adulterous generation seeks after a sign. There shall no sign be given it but the sign of Jonah the prophet." Okay? Let's come to chapter 15, which we have covered before. Chapter 15. Now it says here, chapter 15, "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem." So there were some Pharisees in Jerusalem. That's important to note, that there were some Pharisees in Jerusalem, but it's also important to note that when we get into the time of the conflict of Jesus at the temple, it was the chief priests and it was the scribes. Okay? And then we have here concerning why don't your disciples follow the traditions, etc. Now let's come to chapter 16. Chapter 16 and verse 1. "And the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven." And verse 6 now. "Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Let's come to verse 11. "How is it that you do not understand that I spoke to you not concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees?" Verse 12, "Then understood they how he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine or the teachings of the Pharisees and Sadducees." So therefore, he's saying very clearly, any teaching of the Pharisees or Sadducees which is not according to Scripture is not what you're to follow. We'll just have to summarize what we have seen here all the way through, because this is a summary. This is going through and taking a cursory view to emphasize just certain points. Okay? Now let's come to John 11. Let's go over to John 11. It's interesting when you get to John. He calls all the religious leaders most of the time, he calls them the Jews. However, you go back to chapter 9, and you find that the Pharisees were after the mother and father of the man that was born blind that was healed, and they came into the synagogue, and they were fearful that the Pharisees could cast them out of the synagogue, again showing the authority of the Pharisees was in the synagogue and not at the temple. Okay? John 11 and verse 46. This is after the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council. Now notice the ones who were in charge, the chief priests. There were Pharisees there, but they're put in a secondary position. And isn't it interesting? All the way through it is the priests, and we'll see a little later, the chief priests, the scribes, the elders, and the Pharisees. The Pharisees were always in a subordinate position, period. The Pharisees were the ones who caused problems within the church. All right. John 11, verse 47, and said, gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we do? For this man does many miracles, and if we let him alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place in this nation. And then answered one of them, Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year unto them, you know nothing, and this is when the prophecy of the death of Jesus, where they consulted from that day forward to do amen. Now, let's go back to the book of Matthew again, chapter 19. And verse 1, Matthew 19 and verse 1. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. That means he's on the east side of Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he spoke and he healed them there. And the Pharisees, where? I want you to understand the emphasis of the Pharisees when they are alone is when they are in the outer reaches away from Jerusalem. At Jerusalem, they have to consult with the priest because the Pharisees were not in charge. Okay? Now let's come to chapter 20. Chapter 20 and verse 17, and this was just before, on their way up to Jerusalem, just before the end. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart. He didn't take them apart, took the 12 disciples separately in the way, and said to them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the Pharisees. Now it says chief priests. And unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. Okay? Let's go on. Chapter 21. Chapter 21 and verse 12. And when Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, he said to them, It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, and you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and Pharisees saw, not a mention of a Pharisee, the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things he did, and the children crying in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were displeased. Okay, so then he went out, he went to Bethany, he came back in the morning, let's come down to verse 23. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people, that is the rulers of the people, let's come on here, chapter 21. We did verse 23. Let's come down to verse 45. Okay. Therefore I say unto you, let's go to verse 43, and then we'll come down to verse 45. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees, now here's the first mention of Pharisees. After all this publicity going on, a few Pharisees came around, and we have the chief priests and the Pharisees, heard his parable, they perceived that he spoke of them, and when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the people because they took him for a prophet. Okay? Chapter 22. Chapter 22. And verse 15. Then went the Pharisees, that is, from where Jesus was teaching, and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, you can read the rest what they were saying. Verse 23. Verse 23. The same day came to him the Sadducees. So here you have these political parties, almost like a political caucus. You've got the chief priests roaming around in bands, trying to catch Jesus and understand what he's doing. And then you have the Pharisees coming around and joining them. And then the Pharisees are put to shame. So they run over here to the Herodians, and they say, Herodians, go over here and try and catch him. And then after that is done and they can't catch him, then the Sadducees come around, okay, which say there is no resurrection and saying, Master, so you go through the seven husbands and brothers and wives and saying, which one will they be in the resurrection? Okay, verse 45 now. Okay, verse 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, so there were some Pharisees there, but we'll notice, and it's important to notice that the Pharisees at the temple are there. And we will see in a little bit that they had no authority at the temple. Some of them may have sat on the Sanhedrin. Some of them may have been some of the doctors of law, but they did not have the authority. We will see. Verse 41, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what do you think of Christ? Whose son is he? And they said to him, the son of David. And he said to them, how then does David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit you at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither did any man from that day forward ask him any more questions. Now that he put them to shame, then he excoriated them in chapter 23. We won't go through that. Let's go on down to chapter 26. Clear down to Matthew 26 and verse 3. And this is after Jesus was arrested. No, not after. This was before. Just before he was arrested. Verse 3. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people into the palace of the high priest, who is called Caiaphas. And they consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety. And they said, no, not on the feast day, etc. And then we know that Judas Iscariot came and offered to betray Jesus. All right, let's go to, yes, that's verse 14. Let's go clear over to verse 47. Verse 47, Matthew 26. The reason I'm staying in Matthew, I could jump back and forth to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, but this gives us a straight, easy flow to do a survey. You can look up the other scriptures, okay? Verse 47. And while he yet spoke, that is Jesus, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people, who were in authority. The chief priests and the elders and the scribes.